Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Get ready, Daily Pop. It's going A-list today. We've got Jolie, Paltrow, Hayek, and yes, you're on the right channel. And some Real Housewives secrets you are not going to believe. Lonnie Morgan. Are you guys ready for
this?
Are you guys ready for this?
We're ready.
You guys, up first, Katie Couric, trying to put out that fire. Katie says her book, Going There, has been wildly misrepresented in the tabloids.
Okay.
Now she's setting the record straight and getting brutally honest about sexism and competition in the industry. Here's what she said during her mic drop on NBC's Today.
What did you want people to know about the boys' club that you encountered and what it was really like in the news business in
those
days?
Well, I think early on I encountered a lot of sexism. I tell a story at CNN when I was 26, and I walked into a meeting of male executives, and the vice president said, that's not why Katie's successful. She's successful because of her hard work, determination, work ethic, and breast size. I wrote him a scathing memo asking for him to apologize. And I think in many ways that set the tone for the rest of my career.
Talked openly about female mentorship. You felt like you had to protect your turf.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's brutally honest, you know? I think that I have mentored scores of women, many of who still work on this show. But I think that when there are very few jobs for women and men are making decisions not necessarily based on, you know, the right criteria, that sometimes you do get insecure and sometimes you do get territorial.
And to be clear, did you ever actively try to sabotage
another
female on-air correspondent?
Never. I think I just wish that maybe I had extended myself more and shown people the ropes a little bit more. But I think when people are outwardly kind of vying for your job, it is hard to be generous, I think.
I'm going to say that, yes, I agree with Katie Couric.
It just reminds us how much we love her, right?
100%. And this is human.
Yes.
If someone was after my job, I'm telling you right now, I support other supportive people and I match people's energies. So if you're coming in like a competition, guess what?
Yeah.
You're gonna get Usain Bolt in here, okay?
Absolutely.
And you have to remember back in those times, there were few women. So I can understand what she's talking about. But when he says about the breast size, was it because her breasts were the right size or they weren't too big or something like that?
I think they were pronounced. I think he was saying like her breasts help. Accumulate, were a part of her success.
100%.
Which to now to even think, I mean, I feel like we live in such a world where like every single thing, every word that somebody utters, everyone's always like, is that okay?
Uh-huh.
And the fact that somebody just openly said that in a meeting full of a boardroom of like other men is
But that was back then.
But also I feel like back then isn't so back then. And I feel like we're still feeling the change.
Oh, definitely.
It's not like everything is just all of a sudden it's like we're all robots and it's all PC and there's not some still happening in the world.
Yes, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Have you ever felt like someone was coming in to take your job and you had to show them Auntie Love and not Lonnie?
You know what? I've never felt that way. I think that there have been times when people felt like they were going to take my job. I never felt it.
Oh.
Because I know my talent. And that's the same thing that I think that Katie was saying. She knows, when you know your talent and you... you can go get another job. But I'm saying back then, it was so hard for women that now it's a little bit better. There are more opportunities. There's more services and things. But there are people that will come in and think they can take your job. But if you have the confidence to know that you know who you are, you know your talent, nobody can take your place.
I agree. And especially because I think you know that you're so good at what you do. And I feel like that's so accurate. I feel like that's yes. genuine. I feel like if you're somebody that wavers or gets blown around in the wind, I feel like you're not equally confident every single day that you
right.
wake up.
Right.
You don't do a show every single day and thank God I killed it. But overall, the general consistency of your talent, like
yes.
you either have it or you don't. And there's right. a reason why people exist long term and don't.
Yes, but there's a thing in Hollywood when you're a minority. That when you walk through a door, you think that there's only room for one.
Right.
There's the one black woman on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one gay guy. For you guys, there's multiple white ladies
yep.
on an ensemble. So there's multiple places.
But even
not
for her.
Not multiple blonde ladies.
Yes. See?
Careful, my discrimination.
And they've come a long way. Women have come a long way,
yes,
just
yes.
in general. For us to have this type of show with no white male, that's unheard of.
Yeah, because yes. white men, you know,
where
sorry,
are white men
boring.
Now? CNN.
What, Tom, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Y'all some boring ass motherfuckers.
Not all of them.
Most of them. Katie also talked about love-hate relationship with being called America's sweetheart and how her fans might respond to her book. She says, I wanted to be honest, and it's not My Little Pony and Sunshines and Lollipops.
Yep.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing to have the reputation as America's sweetheart, as Katie has had, as Jennifer Aniston has had, as all these people have had before and after her?
Look, you have to have something to sell. Okay, that's just it. If you're going to sell something, if you're going to be on television every day, people either have to trust you, they have to have some type of emotion. That's why they come up with all these, you know, you could be America's mom. I'm Auntie Lonnie. You're the gay best friend. You're the beautiful blonde rich bitch.
Beautiful.
You know, who cares?
Beautiful. Yes.
It's just, if it keeps you on, it keeps you on. But I think that anybody, and this is not just people in this industry, any woman, any minority, they can learn from this book because she has so many life lessons and there are no lies that have been told. And I also want to say one thing about her thing with Matt Lauer. Matt, what's his name?
Lauer.
You forgot his name already because he has no TV now.
This is the thing. We have to normalize that just because we're sitting here and we are work friends, you don't necessarily know what someone does in the dark.
Oh, I know your freaky ass be doing
no,
you know, because you
afterwards.
Know I'm like,
it's
you know,
true.
And
you, know
it
you
ain't none of your business what I do, right?
It's actually, you are absolutely correct. So when your ship goes down, don't nobody
exactly.
expect me to drown with Lonnie.
Exactly.
I'm gonna take her with.
Exactly.
The ship's not going down with Lonnie.
Oh, that submarine is steel.
It's steel.
It's bulletproof.
It's no problem. But I think with the difference between Matt and Katie, what was going on is I think that they're that infiltrated the workplace, and so that's why there were whispers. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, 100. I agree with you. I do think that, you know, we do see each other in a certain capacity. We've had nothing but nice exchanges. You know, most of the talent here, I feel like we have a really good situation, but like at the end of the day, none of us can speak to what the other person goes home and does.
100%.
Truly, we can't.
But that's the problem with America right now. They want everyone to answer for everybody else's mistakes.
Right.
Right.
I'm watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and people are afraid to console their friend on TV because they don't want to look a certain way. People are afraid to speak out because they don't want people to attack them. We have to stop dragging women into men's and I feel that hard. And we have to stop dragging other women into other women's
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's also just like the world we live in. It's like everybody is so scared and so sheltered and so scared to make the wrong move. It's like, we're all trying to figure it out every single day.
Yeah.
Like, just because you're on television, just because you have a social media platform, just because you're on a reality TV doesn't mean that you have gotten a different handbook to life and you know how to handle this
100%.
Stuff. 100%. Like, and the people surrounding people that are going through things, I think that's very valid. Like, I know people can dismiss it and think, oh, it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, who cares about that? That's not serious. But it's like, it actually is, because these are actual pop figures in pop culture that everybody is obsessed with. And if you say the wrong thing supporting your friend Erica, you could also be targeted.
100%.
And it's just like, can we all just like, chill out a little. Let's just relax. Like,
yeah.
everyone's dealing with the changes. There's been
We're
more change
perfect.
In the last
That's
few years
all.
Than there has been in 20. So calm down.
Well, yeah. Everybody calm down for this story. But the next one, get your tiki torches out and the class action
you know
suits ready. Sex and the City creator Candace Bushnell says fans need to stop basing their lives on the series. Now you tell us. She says the show's message was not very feminist, telling the New York Post, the reality is finding a guy is maybe not your best economic choice in the long term. Men can be very dangerous to women in a lot of different ways.
Oh, woo. She looks good.
So I'm going to need you, Candace, to refund that $40-plus million
okay.
you made off of my ass and everybody else. And if Toyota can do it, you can give me a refund, too. Ooh. Recall Ooh. This thing. I hate when people look back on a series and all of a sudden they have to be woke in 2021. It's like, all you have to say was, that was my life and my experience with my friends at the time.
And what's wrong with that experience?
Thank
like, is
you.
It all of a sudden you don't... There are women out there that want to meet men, that want to rely on men, that want to get married and want to be taken care of. And that is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the same thing.
But whoever said it was a feminist show, yeah. I never looked at it like that.
And I hated Carrie.
First of all, the word feminist is one of the most confusing words. On the planet, no one really knows what it means. It's like, you're a feminist because it's like, everyone has their own definition of what this
That's
word
true.
Is. And actually, if you watch Chappelle, we talked about this yesterday, he does look up feminist and says, it's a person, it's not even a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
A person, see, you learn something.
It's stuff that you
yes.
stand for. It's
yes.
you're standing for female rights. You're standing for women's rights. You want equality. But the thing is that this was a TV show. It was an escape. It was a fantasy.
Thank you.
Why are we putting so much on this now? I mean,
because now
because
she's made the money.
Spin-off.
Now she's made the money and she has to like go back and say it. It's like, yes, Friends had all white people. Great, let's fight about it. But nothing's gonna change now.
But yeah, it's so
nothing's gonna change in Friends
you.
Now that everybody's upset that Aisha Tyler didn't get more airtime.
We can do better moving forward.
Yes. That's,
and we are.
100%.
We really are.
Yeah, but I
mean,
people should be able to want love too. You can have all the success in the world.
Right.
And that's what Carrie was having, but mm-hmm. in the end, she wanted love. I don't think she was relying on Mr. Big for her.
She worked.
She took that down payment. She took that down payment for that apartment.
No, don't you do it to
no,
Carrie.
No.
She worked the whole time. I mean, by the way, you as a woman, genuinely, I mean, you don't want kids. You don't want to get married. If you don't want to work and you want your husband to support you, also fine. Or if you want to work, great. But like Carrie was independent. She worked. She had a career the entire duration of
she
the show.
She was on unemployment. Let's be real.
She for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, she was not. She wrote. She got $3 a word at Vogue.
She got $4.50 at Vogue.
No.
What she should be apologizing for was letting bitches think they can live on the Upper West Side, having a part-time job, and
Listen,
wearing Manolo Blahnik.
It is a
That's
fantasy.
That's what you should be
you know what?
Apologizing
fantasy.
For, Candace.
It's a show. It's a just, show. It's entertainment,
you
Justin.
Guys, after the break, we're going to get real. Okay, we're going to go back to realness with Angelina Jolie. You got to hear how she surprised her kids.
Oh, darling.
My very real and personal interview with Gwyneth the Paltrow.
Why am I not, why am I not doing Gwyneth's interviews, you guys?
You look nice.
It was at 9:30.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It was a family affair at the Eternals premiere
yeah.
last night. Angelina's 6 kids came out to support their superhero mom. And Zahara showed up in her mom's Oscar dress from 2014. How adorable.
What was missing?
Well, he's like, no.
She was there in spirit.
Get the count.
He was there in spirit.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wait, hold on. Now she a fact checker?
Yeah.
She a TV host, or all the comedian, a fact checker?
Yeah, she really, yeah.
Knock that wig right off your head, Lonnie.
I thought everyone looked great.
I love
it. But I thought everyone was giving neutrals and giving blacks, and then Zahara
Stop
just
it.
Stole that show.
Zahara has a very, from what I've seen, because I went to that last event and they were there, they're very close, and I think that this was probably paying homage to her mom. They're a good-looking bunch, aren't they?
Oh, they are in formation, okay? They are in... They got a talking to from Tina Knowles before they walked on stage.
By the way, where is Miss Tina? I just want to do a weekly check on Miss Tina.
You know what?
I love Miss Tina.
We're gonna start that.
We went to go to a... Were you there? You were there
yes.
when we saw Beyonce and Miss Tina walked in, and
yes.
I was like, ah! What were we talking
about? We got to get to the break.
We got to get to the break. Here's what Angie told us about their big night when Martin gets her pregnancy brain together.
I can't even think of, I don't know.
I haven't seen some of them for centuries.
Hi.
Hello.
You said in an interview before that you had no plans of being a superhero, but what was it about this role that finally convinced you to just do it?
This cast, the idea of this family, and this way of showing superheroes.
Yeah. And what was your kids' reaction when you joined the cast? I know that they're here tonight, which has to be so exciting, but what did they say when you told them?
I think they still find it really funny because they know me and Mom's mom. And so maybe in some way it like blew the universe. So they're like, Marvel's so cool, but Mom? Mom's a superhero? They're really supportive, and I think they find it fun.
Were they really stoked to come out here tonight with you?
I think that, you know, they're so supportive. It's like those great friends that are, they're more here in that loving, supportive way than just here for themselves and excited. They kind of back me up when I'm nervous, and we kind of try to help each other out.
You have said that you couldn't believe that you landed a superhero role at this stage in your life. Did you never think it would happen?
Well, I was hoping that it would happen in my 20s and in my 30s, but it didn't. So I said, okay, it's all right, you know, someone else will get one. And I didn't know that it was gonna be me just when you lost all hope for it.
Oh my gosh. And you brought your daughter with you here tonight. How important is it for you to step into strong, powerful roles like this?
Oh, it's not only important, it's fun. And you crave it for so many years when I started, and you finally feel free. You know that you can play women that you can identify with in so many ways, and that people can identify with superheroes that have diversity in culture, in age, in, you know, ways of thinking. And before we didn't have that. So it feels great, and it feels like justice in a way.
How long were you together?
5,000 years.
You always bring the fashion to every single carpet you ever arrive at. What inspires your style?
What inspires my style? Oh gosh, I like to mix it up. I like to, yeah, I think if you can't do a bit of drama on the carpet, when's the appropriate moment? So yeah, I'm very, very lucky that I get to wear such fun things.
What is that thing coming out of her mouth?
Glamour.
It's a statement.
it's called, oh, this right here, the scientific word for it is glamour.
It really, yes. It really does work though. It's so annoying, but it works.
Tell me your kids are self-sufficient and you're ready to get this booty out on the, get back in these streets. Without telling me, you're ready to get back in these streets. That's what she is telling me in this photo right now.
Everybody grow.
Oh, Eternals is out November 5th. It is everything. Angelina is killing it. And we've got to talk about how the ladies dominated the carpet. Angelina, Gemma, and Selma all look stunning.
Yes.
Who is your favorite look of the night?
I mean, Angelina, you can't even, it's not even worth, it's not a conversation.
I know. She's just great. I like the white feathers, though. I thought for it to be, you know, the whole theme, it just, that worked for me, you know. And then Selma is just hot.
She brought what she was supposed to bring. I mean, she looks unbelievable. This woman is hot. She'll be hot when she's 90.
She brought the globes. She everything.
Yes.
And she's giving me rich white lady realness. When you know you don't have to do too much, you just have to accentuate that one thing.
She is like dancing around and doing pottery in her off time. Like, she's doing good.
The gold trim is nice.
She's very, there's some sensual stuff.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Speaking of not doing so good, The Real Housewives Tell All, we're talking to the author of the new book that is revealing some very shady secrets.
Uh-oh.
Don't go anywhere.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Do you want to be a friend to anyone?
She was like, I'm not signing this paper if you cast my brother and my sister.
I was a little irritated.
By me?
You kind of kicked it off.
Well, Mom is not my friend. You're my friend.
So,
I don't give a... You're not a...
girl is girl. Why would you say that?
You are so self-absorbed. It's crazy.
You.
What you're not gonna do is say you to me. Who the do you think you are, Ramona?
That tea was hot.
Yeah.
Ooh, that tea was piping. You know what? We get to see all the housewives collide when the Ultimate Girl Strip drops, but that's nothing compared to the shade being thrown in this new Housewives book. Mm-hmm. Joining us now is the author of Not All Diamonds and Rosé, David Quinn. Woo!
Hi, how's Hello. It going, Justin? Hey, Morgan.
David, you spoke to over 100 housewives for this book. Who shocked you the most and why?
Yes.
The conversations were incredible. You know, there was not a single question off topic. You can ask whatever you wanted. I think my favorite conversation, Carol Raswell really spilled the tea, I have to say. I loved what she gave about her breakup of her friendship with Bethany. That was really incredible. Plus a lot of what happened between her and Andy. I think you'll really enjoy that.
Okay, what happened between she and Andy?
We need to know. We need to know what happened.
Well, you know, they had a friendship before going into the show, and then the show kind of took over from that. Andy really talks about it. Everybody is getting real because I didn't just talk to Housewives.
Right.
I talked to the producers, the executives. It is an oral history, and they really explain their perspective. You'll love it.
Wait, before we get into anything crazier, I have to ask you, NeNe was the OG. She was the face of Housewives for a long time. We know that she is persona non grata right now over at Housewives World. Did you get a chance to talk to NeNe, or was she off limits?
Everybody was on limits. I could talk to anybody, but I reached out to NeNe. She wasn't available. I love her so, so much, and I'm still mourning the loss of Greg. That's why I'm dressed in all black still today. She just is the best. I wish her nothing but the best.
Okay, so Andy Cohen gave you his blessing on this book, which I feel like that's like the ultimate blessing that you can get. Okay, so did you run all the stories by him? Was there anything that he was maybe like, listen, you can do X, Y, and Z, but like, let's leave whatever off?
Not really. I mean, he was open to it all. And in fact, he mentioned on Watch What Happens Live the other night that some of the women in the book are really trashing him. And he's totally fine with that. He wanted it to be a book where people were expressing their real opinions about the things that they experienced while they were on the show. So you will see it all.
I have to ask, because it's really crazy.
It's rare that you get, you know, you kind of create a book and then all of the players that the book is about just come forth with all of this information and behind the scenes tea that like everybody's been waiting for.
Look, did you talk to Lisa Vanderpump?
I did talk to Lisa Vanderpump, of course.
Do you think?
Yes, I mean, we named the book after Lisa Vanderpump, right? Not All Diamonds and Rosé. It's all kind of, you know, her infamous tagline. So for sure, she's in the book.
Did you think that she is better off the show or that she is bitter that she's off the show? Because I can't get a read if she's truly over the ladies or if she really wants to get back in
there. Yeah, or is she coming back someday?
I mean, I think the door is always open for all of these housewives. I think that once you're in, just like the mafia, you're in forever. But Lisa Vanderpump seems to be a little bit away from it. She doesn't really want to, you know, be in the mud. She's kind of looking forward to moving on to this next chapter. So she was a reluctant interview, I have to say. We really fought to get her. But she spilled some tea herself.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, quickly. Vicki Gunvalson, obviously the OG housewife.
Yeah.
Okay, and you found out what really led to her leaving her show. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those interesting things that people can't imagine the show without the OG. But, you know, she, for the past couple of seasons leading into her finale, was really struggling and really wasn't, you know, performing in the way that she even wanted to. So we hear the reasons from the producers and from Andy as to why her removal from the show happened and where she is today and her thoughts about it now.
What are the reasons?
And plus,
because we want to know what are the reasons.
Give us like one reason.
You know,
some people say, oh, I walk away, and you hear the other rumor that you got fired. What's the reason?
Well, you will clarify it all in the book. I'm trying to get you to read it. I'm trying to get you to buy it. But I think in Vicky's, you know, experience, it was just a long run and a long time on the show and had a lot of storyline. What more was there to say?
Yeah.
She was going off with her happily ever after. Now, of course, that's all fallen apart. So we all want to see her back. So Bring her back, I say. Bring her on.
I agree. Oh, my God.
Dave.
We cannot wait. Everyone is buying this book. Everybody is reading this book. Thank you so much for being here.
Is there an audiobook?
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. There is not. I wish there was. There's not an audiobook, unfortunately.
You have such a soothing voice. You need to read it.
By the way, it is very, well, I feel very calm. You.
Very calm about all this drama. Not All Diamonds and Rosé is out now. You guys, get it. You will not be disappointed. Guys, it is time, after the break, my intimate interview with Gwyneth of the House of Paltrow. Oh. We're talking relationships and sex, and I'm telling you, she should win another Oscar for this. We'll be right back. Breaking news, Gwyneth and I pretty much went all the way.
Ow.
Before my interview with the Goop Goddess, I didn't know how much more I could learn about sex. But turns out, I didn't know So get those kids out of the room and listen up. How many yoni eggs do I have to sell to get a corner office over there?
None. You already have the job with no yoni eggs necessary.
Do you remember sitting in Aspen?
Yes.
And we were at Casa Tua, and you were like, what do you want to see from season two? And I'm like, I want to see couples. I want to see tantric. I want to see all of it.
See?
And now it's happening.
I delivered for you.
You delivered for me.
I delivered for you.
Oh my God, how fun has this ride been to see other couples explore one another?
It's been incredible. You know, I really love the show so much. Like, I love these couples so much. And I don't know, it felt very fulfilling in a way to watch them go through something like quite challenging and vulnerable and then come out on the other side. And so it's nice when you put something together and you feel like, wow, this could actually really help people.
No matter what it looked like on camera, if you haven't felt that before.
Now, there's a big misconception, and we have a debate around the office,
okay,
that men are actually the ones that are scared to explore. I think it's women.
Mm.
From these couples, what have you found?
Well, I think you're both right. I think both sides are right, and for different reasons. So I think women are scared to explore and ask for what they want because we, a lot of us, especially like my generation, hopefully less so as the generations go down, have been taught like it's shameful to think about sex,
for sure,
to talk about sex. And so that's really deep in us, you know? So it's like we don't have the permission to do it and we feel like it's like you're not a good girl if you're, yes, exploring things or you're exploring sexuality or moving boundaries. So that's an issue. And I think for men, it becomes more of a, well, why? Do you think I'm doing it wrong?
Yes.
Like, why do you, so it comes from a more of a defensive place with men. And that's what we're trying to break down, right?
Yeah.
Both sides.
You say, I want to be the king.
What just happened to me?
Has there been a moment on the show where you're like, Brad, when I get home, we need to talk about this because I just learned this from Daniel and Sarah, and we're going to talk about this.
I was like, you know, Wolverine claw could be very interesting. I never thought about this before.
You're like calling me Jack and being like, can you just ship me one of your claws, Rob?
Am I nervous? Yes, but I'm ready.
It's so crazy because we talk about generations not being able to talk to their daughters or sons about sex.
Yes.
How does your approach differ from your mom's? Because I just feel like your mom was not the woman,
no,
who was talking about anything.
Not, definitely not this kind of thing, no. You know, I try to stay neutral and open and non-judgmental and follow their lead, right? Because, like, the truth is, no teenager wants to talk about sex with their parent.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I still don't want to talk about sex with my mother. You know, like, we don't need to do that. But I want them to feel that whatever their sexuality is great and is accepted. And so I just try to listen more than speak.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing real sex and talk sex with Sue Johansson. Do you guys remember that show? The Canadian show with the older lady who was like Dr. Ruth and she would talk sex all day? Like, you're the 21st century Dr. Ruth. That's a lot of pressure on you. That is a lot of pressure because I feel like the PTA moms are like, hey, Gwyneth, got a question about this. Are they like that with you?
No, I think women are really, so far, women are so happy that there's just a space being open to just be curious and ask questions. And I think because we're not prescribing anything or saying like, you should do anything, it's more like, you should listen to yourself. And if you have curiosity or you have an inclination, like listen to that, create a space for yourself to try something or ask a question. And people like that, the idea that they have agency over their lives.
On a scale of 1 to 5, how pleasurable is that?
5. Jackpot.
It's crazy because in society, I'm gonna speak from my own experience, if I have an O, I'm the happiest person alive. And we talk about microdosing, we talk about meditation. Why don't we talk about masturbation? Because I feel like crime would be down. Am I wrong?
You're so funny.
It's true. The crime rate would be so low.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really good topic. And again, like, it's a topic that is considered incredibly taboo to talk about. And I agree with you. I think there's nothing wrong with understanding your body and what works for you and how you receive pleasure. I think it's beautiful and healthy.
My stepmom called me the other day and she was going on and on about this new massager that your friend Gwyneth Paltrow just put out and I can't believe she's got that and I really want it, blah, blah, blah. And I got it for her and she was like, I cannot believe you got this for her. I'm like, well, you were telling me how much you liked it. I felt like you were trying to send me a signal.
Right.
But it's so crazy because gay men will, I will give you a diagram of what I tried 2 nights ago if it was good. I will walk you step by step. But I feel like women don't share that with other women. Am I right?
Oh my God, you're so funny.
But are you guys sharing it at brunch?
Are we sharing it at brunch? I mean, I think we think about it probably slightly differently to male. Like, it's probably less anatomical when we talk about it at brunch and maybe more emotional or like what, because really, like, if a woman feels safe, then there's a possibility for her to feel sexually fulfilled. And
yes.
If not, it's really hard. So those tend to be the topics that we'll talk about more at brunch.
Now I have to get personal with you.
Go ahead. I knew it was coming.
Ooh, you guys. I cannot believe y'all cut it off. At this point, the next question was so good.
Why are we cutting that off? I wanted to know.
By the way, her publicist stood in front of the camera and she was like, no, we're gonna talk about it. You guys, Sex, Love, and Goop premieres October 21st on Netflix. And set your DVR because there's much more with this interview with Gwyneth tomorrow.
I hope so.
And she answers the question.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Up next, I know you guys are hot and bothered. So we're gonna make some margaritas. Amber Ruffin is here. We're gonna hang with her and put her mic skills to the test.
Ow.
Stick around. You don't want to miss this.
Yes.
In a recent Instagram post, singer Shakira revealed that she was attacked in a park in Barcelona by wild boars. Now, the thought of this happening to Shakira, someone I deeply love? No. I'm gonna pretend like that news story does not exist.
Is that a healthy...
Derek, nothing I do is healthy. That just doesn't exist.
That is a look at the Amber Ruffin Show on Peacock. And with us now is the Emmy-nominated Amber Ruffin herself.
Yay!
And no, we are not auditioning for Chippendales today, maybe tomorrow.
Yet.
We are wearing these bow ties because our goat herself loves a BT.
I love it.
We're paying homage to you. Now, you're in season 2.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to tell you that your commentary, the way Amber
delivers,
just effortlessly can deliver commentary but also make it funny is ultimate. I mean,
Thank you.
The greatest thing. What are you excited about for season 2?
Besides that audience. Because that
audience
is next level.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Like, that, saying jokes is fun, but then saying jokes to laughter is excellent.
Yes.
Isn't it?
You really forgot. I have forgotten. And I, now that we have this audience, it is like,
it was performing in a vacuum, but now you're like, at least 200 people like it.
Yes. Yes.
So, hey.
Minimum.
Hey, yes. 200 minimum. That's good enough for me.
So the audience, it gives you energy.
Yeah.
All you need is that one white lady from Minnesota laughing in the corner because she laughs at everything. So you got to find that one person. You know what I mean?
She's there.
Every week.
She's there every week. And louder than the last.
Now, you started off in the writer's room at Seth Meyers.
Yeah. I'm still there.
You're still there.
Yeah.
When you decided to do this show and it got picked up, were they like, you'll be back, you'll see? Or were they like, go ahead, do your thing, we love you, and we know how you, like, we know you can do this.
Oh, yeah. Seth, working at Late Night with Seth Meyers is like Montessori school, where it's like,
yes.
Friggin', there is nap time, you can have help if you want, you're not done, that's fine, you can have more days. Like, it is.
Wow.
They are very happy and lenient and cute. So they were like, yeah, dude. Oh, you want your own show? Yeah, do it. Like, there are no rules over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Then that's why I'm so bad.
I love it.
Yay.
Now, we over here do a lot of celebrity interviews, which is why you're here. If you ended up doing that, who would be your dream guest? Because I feel like the Amber Ruffin show is going to turn into that.
Look, all of my dream guests would be like, Tevin Campbell.
Yes. Oh,
yes. Babyface.
Yes.
Oh, you're 90s. You want Tony Braxton.
The culture.
I would die. And it would just be a series of me embarrassing myself over and over again. I would love it.
But, you know, Amber, can you talk about, just quickly, because we've been talking about Katie Couric and how she made waves. You know, you are one of the few females to have a late night show, especially black female.
Yeah.
How important is it that you represent?
It, I mean, I just have to say this. It really speaks to black people because when given the opportunity,
yes,
we show out.
We show out. And I like to say they gave me an inch and I'm still taking because I know that these chances are very, very rare. So I do feel the pressure of, like, I have to come correct.
100%.
So I try my very best and drink a lot.
Speaking of drinking, you just had a freestyling contest on your show, so we want a turn. I'm going to pick a topic that you and Lonnie have to make up a song or a rap about.
Uh-oh.
And the winner gets this very well-made margarita over here, okay?
You. Oh my God! Oh, oh!
So look,
oh,
we,
oh.
Look, we on 8 Mile right now.
Okay.
Everyone stand
I'm
up.
Detroit.
Fred, give me a beat.
I'm Detroit.
Give me
I'm
a beat.
Omaha.
All right, Amber.
Omaha.
Your topic is favorite, your favorite cocktail,
oh, no.
Margaritas. You each have 20 seconds to bust a rhyme. All right, our
okay,
guest
go,
goes
go
first.
Ahead. You the guest.
Oh no!
Amber.
Go ahead.
Margaritas.
Hey.
I got salt on the rim. Margaritas. I'll start you off.
Hey.
Hey, oh, everybody, I think that's nice. Pour me some margarita with some ice. That's right. What you talking about him? I do want salt on the rim. Drink it down and drink it up.
Hey.
I do not give a what.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I be smelling like a skunk because of my poor margaritas I'm drinking.
Oh. Oh. Okay,
give it up,
okay,
Amber
okay.
Robin.
Okay,
give
let's
it up and running.
All right.
It's you go, Ronnie.
Oh, gosh.
Margaritas on my mind. Yes, I'm fine. I like it all in time. Pomegranate, strawberry, on the ice. Margaritas, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry. DJ, cut the music.
I like it.
DJ, cut the music. Lonnie, I am sorry to tell you, you not only lost the challenge, but you lost your black card. Give me a goddamn black card. Sit your ass down.
You didn't even do the rap.
Get your
he
ass
was afraid
down.
To do the rap. Amber, he's like, I ain't gonna rap.
Amber Ruffin, you win this margarita. You guys,
cheers.
Check out the Amber Ruffin Show. It streams Friday nights on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock, scan that QR code on your screen to get the hookup.
Hey, margaritas.
Still ahead.
Margaritas.
The Hollywood couple that was just blindsided us with a breakup bus. Jessica Simpson make $1 billion move.
It.
We'll explain when we come back after the dude.
Welcome Welcome back to Daily Pop. It is time for today's Hollywood Minute. Jessica Simpson is having a good day. She just bought back control of her billion-dollar business. Jessica started her collection in 2005, and she told Footwear News that taking complete ownership of her brand means the absolute world to her. She says, after 16 years in business, I feel ready to meet this next exciting phase with open arms. Amazing. If you're looking for photos of Randall Emmett on Lala Kent's Instagram, you're out of luck, you guys. She just deleted all of their pictures after the couple split. The Vanderpump Rules stars were engaged for 3 years and share a daughter, Ocean, who was born in March. But apparently the pandemic wasn't all sunshine for these two. A source told us they spent most of it fighting. And Emily in Paris is coming back for season two, and Kate Walsh just gave us a little taste of what we can expect.
It's just bigger and better and more fabulous than you could imagine, you know? It took season one and just, like, went off into outer space right next to Jeff Bezos' ship. So it's really good.
And that's your Hollywood Minute. Grease night on Dancing with the Stars was electrifying. We got this season's first perfect score, but Olivia Jade and Mel C landed in the bottom two, shocking the judges.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that the couple I'd like to save is Olivia and Val.
It is really an emotional roller coaster, and it's relentless. You know, since we began rehearsing, we haven't had a day off. You know, it's 7 days a week. So things, yeah, sometimes just don't go the way you want them to, and tonight is, you know, proof of that.
Ten!
Okay, everybody, listen up. This is the first perfect score of the entire season.
It felt so magical, and, like, after the fact, we were just able to celebrate and breathe. Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of pressure on this dance only from us.
Yeah.
And, like, there was pressure on me from me, and there was pressure on you from you. Like, it was,
we did ourselves proud.
Yeah. We did each other proud.
Kenya, I am so happy that you are still here in this competition so that you could do that dance right now for all of us.
Rizzo is my favorite character of Grease. She was just a badass, and she's very much misunderstood. So, of course, I identify with that.
First, let me say from all of us, congratulations to the proud daddy.
I flew home to be there for the birth. She's a cool kid. Curious to see what her personality is going to be like.
So stupid.
Dancing with the Stars airs Monday on ABC.
Kenya.
We'll be right back, everybody. The artist formerly known as Kanye West just legally changed his name to Ye. He's also been wearing a lot of unusual masks. I don't know what's going on.
It's Kanye.
But I feel like something big is a brewing.
Yeah, yay. So it's just yay now.
It's just yay, which it's been yay for a minute.
So what's gonna happen with Kim? Cause she keeping West.
Oh, she ain't dropping that.
You know what? He's an artist. He's not hurting anybody. There have been some questions about things, but my thing is this: you gotta let people live their life and let them be them. And this is him.
By the way, how many times did you have to call Puffy and ask him what his name is at this point? Like, Puffy did this for years. This is nothing new.
But to Puffy's credit, he literally every single name he's changed his name to has worked. Puffy, Diddy, P. Diddy.
What he's saying is based on biblical. Like, yay, though I walk through the valley. Yay, though. So we're going to have a lot of biblical references. He's going through something.
He's
going
to go back to Kanye in 2 years. Kanye can do Kanye. He's all good.
He legally changed it, though.
Yeah, I
know. Get ready, boo.
Be serious.
Get ready, boo. Jesus is about to hit him with that trademark infringement. Set your DVR, because tomorrow we're catching up with Andy Cohen and all of your favorite housewives. Plus, don't forget more of my interview with Gwyneth.
Oh.
And we're breaking down tonight's wild bachelorette premiere. Check out Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30 and join us every weekday at 11 a.m. for Daily Pop right here on E! We love you guys and we appreciate you watching. Follow me on Instagram. Bye, girl.
Oh, my God.
Not the follow.
Yeah, the follow.
Oh, my goodness.